Communism. End of sermon. No, just kidding. I have more. I know. You know what? It can be done. If you thought it was great, then that can be done. Before I get into more, I just thought of this on my way here. And some people give me some examples of chores or tasks or daily whatevers that they hate.
Vacuuming.
Taking out the trash.
Making
the
bed.
Cool.
Laundry.
The dog.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Dogs.
Cleaning the litter box.
Litter box.
Clearing piles off the table I made.
Piles. Great.
Giving the dog a bath.
Dog bath.
Folding the clothes and putting them away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Folding.
The
laundry.
That's a great question. That will not be approached in this. Okay. That's great. Thank you all. We're going to have some notes. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's kind of what I would like our lives to be. Embracing the wonder of the world. Sharing all that we have so that everyone has enough. Cooking and eating together. Adding to our community, not because we're some perfect Christian or evangelist, or we do prayers right, or we read the Bible every day, but because we're just doing it and people get, hey, what those people are doing is cool. I want to get in on that. Unfortunately, because of that, it makes this kind of a hard passage to preach on. Because otherwise, what am I to add to this? It's pretty great. Awesome. So, as it says in our St. Lydia's preaching document, I went to Working Preacher, which has these examples of sermons, devotions, reflections, the like. And in Working Preacher, I read through a bunch of the sermons, and they were all like, seems pretty straightforward, just do that. Which is also really not helpful. Because the thing is, if it was so easy and clear, the world wouldn't be, you know, the horrors that we live in right now. The problem is, while the lesson itself is easy, the maintenance is hard. The same way that sometimes you don't want to, let me go back to this, vacuum or clean the litter box or do your bed or wash your dog or fold clothes. And I have terrible handwriting, so I don't know what this one says, but all the things that you all said, that. Sometimes you slip and maybe today was a tough day or you just need a little break and you're working hard living in, you know, the horrors. But if you or your partner or your roommate or your family or somebody else who depends on you was counting on you, and maybe they're having a rough day too, or that thing you failed to do is their pet peeve and they hate when you don't do that thing, or they're working hard enough living in the horrors, maybe it causes a rift, a strife. And that strife happens over and over. If it happens too much, it causes a rift in the community. On a long enough timeline, this is absolutely going to happen. It is inevitable. It is unfortunately our nature to disappoint one another. But Jesus knew this. In this text we read, we're not far past the Easter text that we recently read, which had the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the falling asleep of Peter, James, and John, the doubts of Thomas. Famous times, Jesus' closest community kind of fucked up. But if you go back and read the verses, they're all very human reactions. Things we ourselves could have easily done. I actually have an aside right here. The Waffle Church last week, we were talking about doubting Thomas. And I was like, if you know the story of doubting Thomas, where Jesus returns and Thomas wasn't there and he doesn't believe it. I remember at Waffle Church being like, if I'm hanging out with you all, or you all today, and I go to the bodega to get us some soda or whatever, some kind of a snack, and I come back and you're like, yo, the ghost of Mr. Rogers showed up. we all sang together. Won't you be my neighbor? And we taught him some of our songs. And I'm like, I don't think so. You don't get to call me Doubting Hannah 2025 years. I feel like it's fair for me to be like, no, I don't think that happened. And yet, knowing that this is our nature, at no time did Jesus say that we were too far gone as people. Never did he say, okay, now you've really done it. Instead, he constantly preached and believed that we could find harmony. And it's important to have verses like this one today, because when we're not of accord, it's good to remember that at one point we were, and we can be again. And maybe that harmony will be as short-lived as the last one, but it's worth it to try our best to be of accord again. Sorry, I used accord twice, but I wasn't changing it. And hold it as long as possible, as long as it's healthy. Okay, now, to make this more interactive, I have good news and I have bad news. What do you want to hear first? The good news?
The bad news.
You want the bad news?
Yes.
That's not how this was written, but we'll do it. The bad news, because it was easier to write the good news first. The bad news is we're living in
the horrors.
Yes. And we're exhausted. It's the last time it comes up. We're exhausted and we're beaten down and we're just trying to survive. In times like this, it's easy for us to turn into ourselves, to feel extra sensitive, to be on guard, to curl up like a roly-poly and just be like, I don't have any more to give. Mm. In times like this, community is hard because community is work. Real work, and that maintenance doesn't just happen. It takes energy and it takes intention. And maybe the last thing you need to be told today is, oh, come on, just push a little bit more. When you're barely holding yourself together. We give ourselves for the good of the whole, but there is a difference between acknowledging, hey, this is an inconvenience, but you all are worth it, and I'm going to stretch myself until it hurts me. There's a real difference there. And if that's you in this moment, you shouldn't feel guilty for it. Instead, maybe just acknowledge that everything is shit. I just swear in my sermons. There's a saying about community that no one human can sustain a note longer than is their breath, but a choir can sing forever. And if all you can do at that moment is to sit here and breathe, you're still a part of this community. And you're very welcome here. Here's the good news. At St. Lydia's, we say we put practice before belief. And a lot of the tools that we need for community are built into our practices. It's been modeled for all of you this entire service. The music leader, the deacon, the shruti box player, the chef, the greeter, all are people amongst the community. There's no hierarchy. They weren't set aside. They weren't voted on. They weren't elected. If you want to do one of these jobs, I'm sure Debbie and all of us would love for you to sign up on the Rona. All of us, truly. You help bring this community together. We cook together. We clean together. If you come early enough, you will find that we set up and we rehearse together. We do these things not only to share the workload, but because working together builds bonds. And having a shared task overcomes things like social awkwardness and differences. Trust me, as an introvert, small talk is hard, but asking where does this dish go, or can you fill this water carafe, or helping somebody put on their name tag is easier. We learn our songs afresh each week so that we avoid the hierarchy of the insiders and the out. Mm. We read the verses multiple times, partially because I asked, because I knew it was going to be in this sermon, but also because it's good to lift up multiple voices. And we share the sermon, which helps us know that maybe my words here aren't what some of you needed to hear today, but maybe your thoughts are. And to that end, we share the sermon at St. Lydia's. In a moment, a bell is going to ring, and there will be a brief period of silence, after which the bell will ring again. And then you can share something inspired by my reading, or the words, or my sermon. We share stories instead of opinions, because Jesus told a lot of stories. And we don't engage in crosstalk. We'll begin in silence.